convention. We're going to be served by our brother Daniel Sharkovich, who has asked that we open with thoughts contained in hymn number one, the first in the book, Abide, Sweet Spirit. We'll ask you to rise at the last verse, and we'll call on our brother Greg Carpenter to ask a blessing on brother Daniel's service this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come at this time unto Thee, desire for more reverent hearts, and we also, Father, have come to Thee with a desire to ask Thy blessing upon Brother Daniel at this time, that the preparations that he has made with Thy guidance will be a blessing unto our hearts and minds. And please, Father, as we undertake this blessed season of convention, be with us and each of the various speakers who have so diligently prepared, but especially now at this time with Brother Daniel and with our hearts. May Thy Spirit be with us. In the name of our Savior we pray. Amen.
Our Brother Daniel is going to serve us along the line, I'm sure, of the theme text, Growing Through Temptations. Growing Through Temptations. Brother Daniel, it's a joy to have you here. Lord bless your service.
Thank you, Brother Barry. And he did it again. He put his arm around me and kind of relaxes me. I kind of like that very much. I bring you love and greetings from your brethren in Vancouver Ecclesia, and personal greetings from Sister Ruth, and special love from my parents from Poland who are visiting us. I also have a message about Sister Berna, that she is regaining her speech and she's regaining some of her movements. She will be moved to a different hospital, UBC hospital, where she will be having more therapy. She had a stroke, by the way, if you don't know. She had a stroke recently and she lost memory and speech, and she's regaining it slowly. And I'm sure that all of you know Sister Berna, and know how sweet and how loving she is. So she definitely wants to be remembered. And also personal love from my brother Kaz and his family as well. It's kind of hard to believe, but it's about 4 or 5 years since the last time I was here. And Esther and my family, we are happy to see you all again. And I wanted to introduce to you our youngest daughter, Chantelle, that never been in Winnipeg yet. She was very excited this morning to see the snow. Our team text, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How to select a convention team text? How to choose a team that will glorify the Heavenly Father, but at the same time will inspire us and stimulate our spiritual senses? How to choose subject that we know that others will enjoy and that we know, we are aware that by choosing the subject will affect other people, will affect those who are present here. It is not a very easy task, and in perplexity we kind of gravitate to the matters of our own heart. We look at the issues that we go through in our own life and things which are important to us at the moment, and then we start revealing our thoughts through a written word, like this team text. And by doing this, we sort of share ourselves with others, and we share our hopes and our fears, our affections, and this is very honest and very pure. And that's why most of us, in the meantime, sort of wonder, how did I know what I really needed? How did I know that this is what I'm sort of going through myself at this time? So today I wanted to focus on the last part of our Lord's admonition, which is the temptations. So Lord, in his wisdom, interconnect us with those bonds which sort of are not always expressed in words, but they are expressed in different ways. And simply by being here, we share ourselves with others, and we tell that we like to be here, and that others are important to us. The presence of another person in time of joy or sorrow enhances our life. Being here is a mutual gift that we give to each other. Even sunsets have a fuller range of colors when we share with another person. Also, sorrows, when they are shared with others, they have a different dimension, different meaning. Our Lord Jesus, in his most enduring time, seeks the presence of friends. He dared to show them his fear. He needed their presence when he fought the final battle of his life. On one of our recent trips, we encountered quite a severe turbulence. We actually thought we'll crash. And at that moment, we sort of have this urge to hang on to someone, to hold someone, to embrace another person. We just wanted to feel that I'm not alone. And then later on, we sort of tell the story over and over. We want to relive the story in the presence of another person. By revealing our fears to others, we are giving them our trust. We validate their importance. We accept their affections. By being with someone in a time of sorrow, we'll extend our friendship to that person. Peter, James, and John did not recognize the importance of the hour. They have always drawn their strength from Jesus. He was their teacher, their master. They did not recognize their master reaching to them for a simple act of friendship. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Our prayer is outcome of our faith. And watching in faith, watching is a faith in action, is the living faith. We strive for things which we pray for. We pray for things which are important to us, for qualities that we desire. Our earnestness of prayer will help our watchfulness. Our prayer life signifies our watchfulness. We have to watch our words, thoughts, our doings, making sure that we worship our Lord in beauty of holiness. We have to be on alert in regards to our weaknesses and shortcomings, that we may protect ourselves against failure. We have to watch the encouragements of the Holy Word, that our faith and hope and our loyalty to the Lord may grow. We have to pray together as congregation. We have to pray in our homes as families. And we have to pray in our sacred gardens of privacy. We have to have the spirit of prayer in everything we say and everything we do. My Father, if this cannot pass away except I drink it, thy will be done. A prayer of a perfect man in a garden of Gethsemane. A heartfelt words among the trees of the olive orchard. A beautiful garden of a wealthy friend was the place of the most intimate conversation with God. Garden of Gethsemane, the place of tears, betrayal, and victory of life above the powers of death. The greatest battles were fought in the gardens. Some of them were won. Jesus has won his battle. Some of them were lost. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And Jehovah God called upon them, upon the man, and said, "Where are thou?" Jesus was stronger than his flesh. He was stronger than his fear, and even stronger than his own life. His weapon was complete trust and obedience to his Father. And then he became the source of our life. Our strength, he became our wisdom. Hebrews 5:7. In the day of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his good fear, godly fear. Although he was son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became unto all those who obey him the author of eternal salvation. Jesus in the garden is teaching us one of the most important lessons of our spiritual warfare. Keep watching and praying. Since then, those words have changed lives of many. They give us the tools how to avoid temptations. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. To avoid temptation is not an act of wickedness or cowardness. but it's rather an act of bravery and spiritual maturity. One of the three eyewitnesses, Apostle James, will write those words later on, James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endures temptations, for when he had been approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. James is teaching us that it's possible to turn temptation into a blessing. And then he gives us some important insight to what is the source of our temptations. And this subject of temptation is kind of delicate because I don't want to be misunderstood, and very often the scriptures use a term of trial or test. But for our purpose, I want to use the word temptation so we understand that there is that part of our trials as well. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust. How then can we take the temptation and turn around into our growth, into our advantage? Well, every temptation is an opportunity to fight a good fight of faith. And on our part of spiritual maturity, every trial can become a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block. When we realize that it's just as much occasion to do right thing as it is to do the wrong thing, we realize that temptation simply provides us a choice. While the temptation is Satan's primary weapon to destroy us, God wants us to learn how to use this situation to our benefit. Every time we make choice, we can make choice that will harm us and will distance us from God, or it will make us grow closer into the character of Christ. Your life is a garden of prayers and temptations. And in this garden, there are trees which bear different fruits. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, loving, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In our sacred garden are these nine fruit-bearing trees. These nine qualities which portray a perfect beauty of Christ, a fully developed new creation. Jesus is the perfect joy, peace, and all the other fruits combined in one person. To have the spirit of those fruits, it is to be more Christ-like. And we all, especially here in this part of the country, farmers, we all realize that when we start cultivating our gardens, things don't just happen overnight. We just don't wake up the next morning and see a fully developed, grown, new creation. God develops the fruits of the Spirit in our life by allowing us to experience the opposite situation or circumstances. He provides circumstances where we are tempted to express the good quality in the wrong way. Character development is always a matter of choice. It always involves choice. We learn how to love by meeting people who are unpleasant to us.
It takes no effort to love those who love you, but it takes great character to love when hate creeps into your heart. We learn the real joy in the midst of sorrow when we turn into God in supplications. Happiness depends on the external circumstances, but the true joy is based on our relationship with God. We develop real peace when things don't go our way, when we are overwhelmed or when we confuse, when we don't know what to do. Then we learn how to trust God. We develop patience when we are forced to wait. We develop patience when we are getting angry and when we have short fuse. Humility grows when we refuse pride. Endurance develops every time you refuse to give up, when you choose to press on, and when you think it was enough and you could just give up, but you decide to press on, you develop your endurance. And every time we defend temptation, we grow in faith and we become more like Christ. We all remember that our adversary is like this roaring lion. But we keep forgetting that prior to him becoming this vicious predator, he was just a cute little puppy. He was just so adorable. We just would like to play with this puppy lion. Things are not always presented to us in a very rigid way. Is this puppy lion that we should be afraid of? Most of our failures begin with just innocent compromise of our principles. Just a little adjustment of scriptures to fit the modern time requirements. This is why Apostle Paul is reminding us 2 Corinthians 2:11. No advantage may be given over us to Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He's telling us that we should not be caught by surprise. He's always using the same methods and the same patterns of action. He always tries to attack those who are trying to get free from him. When a spider watches a fly caught in a spider web, the minute the spider sees that the insect is getting free, he starts throwing more and more of those webs. When Satan sees that we are trying to free ourselves from the trap, he will quickly throw more snares. He will throw more coils around us to prevent the escape. But there is one thing that he cannot do. He cannot overwhelm our will. God has given us this defense weapon, which is our will, and he cannot touch it. We know that greater is he that is on our side than the one that is against us. We should always stand our ground and should firmly resist the devil and his influence. We should always remember that God has promised a way of escape for us. With this knowledge, we can be strong and confident and withstand any adversary. So just look at some, we'll just look briefly at the patterns of our temptations. First and always starts with a desire that is inside of us. And it may be an evil desire, like trying to get a revenge or trying to get a control. But it doesn't have to be a wrong desire. It could be a good desire, normal desire. Like wanting to be loved or wanting to be helpful to others. Temptation often starts with the thought that you can fulfill a good desire in a wrong way or at the wrong time. We know that Satan acts upon our minds, and his assaults can come through human beings, through other people that can suggest us wrong thoughts. But the most vulnerable mind is our own. We have to be always very careful of shortcuts like, I can do better than them. Or like, I deserve better than that. Sometimes we exercise those thoughts. These are shortcuts that Satan can take advantage of. Or thought like, if I only could be in charge, or if I will be in his position, or if this will really make me feel better. You know, those little shortcuts, those little desires that start very innocently in our mind. Then it leads to a second step, which is doubt. Thoughts like, is it really wrong? Or did God really wanted us to not to have this? Or maybe this was good then, but maybe today is not really that necessary. The scriptures warn us in Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, don't let evil thoughts or doubts make any of you turn away from your living God. Because if you are not watchful, deception is waiting at our doorsteps. We are most vulnerable when we are caught off guard, when we are sort of spiritually half asleep, like the disciples in the garden. We have to be very careful of the half-truth. We cannot ever exercise thoughts like, I can get away with it. Or no one will know. Or this will solve my problems. Or the one that I think is most dangerous one is, well, besides everybody else is doing it. These are the thoughts which lead to the final step, which is our disobedience. What begins with as an idea gets birthed in action, and sooner or later will lead us into action. James 1:14, each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Then the desire when it had conceived bears sin, and the sin when it is full grown bring forth death. Be not deceived, my brethren. How to grow through temptation? First of all, we should not be frightened by temptations. We should not even feel guilty or ashamed. We are not beyond temptations. Temptation is a type of a trial that strengthens our will. Give us opportunity to die to our flesh, and it proves our faithfulness to the Lord. Our loving Father knows how much we can withstand. He may allow us to stumble, but as long as we trust Him, He will not allow us to fall. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has taken you by such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make always the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. It is not our Lord's intention that the trying experience will break us or will stop the growth of the new creation. But his intention is that the trials will make us grow and make us grow stronger in his faith. In Romans 58:02, we have a beautiful passage which I wanted to read. The dear master is standing by the crucible, and the furnace heat will never be permitted to grow so intense that the precious gold of our character shall be destroyed or even injured. Oh no. If by his grace the experience may not work for our good, they will be turned aside. He loves us too well to permit any needless sorrow or any needless suffering. I love this term, the needless suffering. There is no such a thing. It is not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted, yet he never sinned. He was without sin. Temptation only becomes sin when we give in to it. We all remember the words of Martin Luther when he said that you cannot keep birds flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest on your head, in your hair. You might relate to this. Sometimes when we pray, there are those thoughts come to our mind which are sometimes even bizarre, and they just sort of, our mind keeps wandering. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. We should realize that Satan is afraid of our prayers, that he will do anything to stop us from praying. We should keep watching and praying that we may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have to also realize our own weaknesses. Just as we realize his pattern of temptations, we have to realize our own pattern of weaknesses. There are certain situations which makes us more vulnerable than other situations. There are some situations that will make us stumble when the same situation won't bother others at all. All those situations are very unique to our weaknesses. And if we search our heart and be aware of them, we can be prepared and be watchful and careful with them. Maybe we should ask ourselves from time to time, what are my secrets? What are the secrets that I don't tell anyone? Your secrets will tell you about your weaknesses. Maybe we should ask, what are my strengths? See, we all have weaknesses, but we all have strengths. And the unique part of our strengths is that when we feel strong about something, we become so bold that we become careless. And then temptation is just around the corner. Our strengths are perfect candidates for our weaknesses. We should maybe ask ourselves, what intimidates me? What makes me angry? Is there anyone in this room that has problem with anger control? What are the situations that make me angry? We should also think and identify the days of the week when we sort of are most vulnerable. Is it on Sunday when we go to church and when things don't always go as we expected? Is this when we get angry and the thoughts come to our mind? Or maybe it's at our workplace. Or maybe it's when we are alone, when the temptations creep into our mind. We should also ask, who is with me at that time? Am I with friends? Or I'm just by myself? Because all those things influence the pattern of our weaknesses and our temptations. Or is it when I'm home, where I feel comfortable and in ease? Or maybe when I travel, when I'm away from home, when sort of this is that world and this is here. We should also ask ourselves, how do we feel at that time? Is it when we are sort of tired and worn out? Or is it maybe when I'm under stress, or where I'm bored or lonely? We should be aware that all those little things influence our reaction. Or maybe when we are hurt, when someone will hurt us very deeply, then the thought of anger or the thought of revenge creeps into our mind. Or maybe when we just succeed in something and we just been overwhelmed with this great success, when we think that we are a little better than others and yeah, I can do it. Once we recognize our weaknesses, we can get the full armor of God ready. Perhaps we can memorize some scriptures that will help us in times like that. Perhaps we can memorize some parts of the manna text, or even photocopy and have it with you. Or perhaps some parts from Exceeding Great and Precious Promises, or any other helpful material. But we cannot forget our 24 hours emergency hotline that we have available. God wants to assist us in the time of need. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. In our life, we should pray at all time. We should not just choose and pick when we can and we cannot pray, or what we should or we should not pray to God. He wants us to talk to Him with our heart, not with our head. When we start making choices for God, that I should pray for this, but I shouldn't for that, we are praying with our head. We should pray with our heart. He's very interested in every detail of your life. He's ready to assist you at all time, but He's also very polite. He will never barge into your life when He is not invited. He's waiting for you to ask Him. He's waiting for a gesture from you. He appreciates when we ask Him to intervene with our problems. Jesus said, Matthew 6:9, Father knows what you need before you ask Him. We have to develop this habit to ask Him for His help beforehand. We are all guilty of crying to Him when we are in trouble already. But we keep forgetting to ask Him for His advice and His guidance beforehand, before we enter into a deal or before we go somewhere. When we are in trouble, when the deal goes sour, then when we ask him for help, we should develop that habit that he wants to intervene with your life before you take your steps. He is on a rescue mission, but he's not only on a rescue mission. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. When we enter the narrow way, we are compelled to fight the good fight. We have to resist the evil that we may secure the great prize of high calling. And this scripture is teaching us that the assaults of the adversary should be and can be resisted. Our heart is the battleground. Satan is our enemy. However, he is not fighting directly with us, and we are not fighting directly with him. Our battle with Satan is not to confine him, but to resist his influences, his deceptions, his attempt to lead us away from the living God. When we take decisive stands against Satan, he will retreat. Not that he will flee away from us in a sense that he is afraid to get hurt, but he will simply leave you. He will retreat like a general of a great army. When he attacks the city and when he sees that the gates are strong and well protected, and when he sees that the attack is useless, he will retreat. But if the adversary finds us well protected, will retreat, but when he will find any weak spots, he will just come up with a better strategy. If we have any tendency to hesitate, he takes this as an invitation. He will quickly renew the attack by proceeding his case and presenting his case from a different angle. And this time he will make it more appealing and he will present it in a better light. We cannot forget that his objective is to take control over your life. To take control over your weaknesses so he may enter your heart. We should make positive and prompt decisions that when we recognize his face. By being assertive and decisive, we not only resist his attacks, but we also acquire a great help from another unseen forces. The instant we resist temptation and stand up for the Lord, we become strong in the Lord, and we become strong in the power of his might. Therefore, it is most important to make positive and prompt decisions. A moment of hesitation could be very dangerous, even fatal. If we take our stand for the Lord, if we give ourselves full and completely to him, he has agreed to protect us. He may allow us to stumble at times, but he will deliver us as long as we remain loyal and true to him. And our will become stronger as the result of the temptation. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore draw near with confidence unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Trials keeps us dependent upon Jesus. Just as the roots of a tree grow stronger when winds blow against them. So every time we stand against temptation, we become stronger and we grow in the character of Christ. And when we stumble, which you will, we have to remember it's not fatal. But instead of giving up, look up to Jesus, because he's the author and finisher of your faith. Keep watching and praying. Brother Barry mentioned that we live in a very difficult time. We live in the last days. We live in days when everything seems to be turned upside down. We live in days when everything what is good and beautiful, things which are right, are kept in disregard. And what is wrong and new is exciting and is promoted. Our children are even told who is going to be their next idol. We live in time of confusion. We are asked to make choices, but it's so hard since things are not black and white anymore. We live in times of gray. Everything is gray. There are so many things which are not good, but they are not all that bad either. How do we compromise them? One very interesting thing, that the world doesn't mind that we believe in God anymore. They used to mind it. They used to prosecute people who believe in God. Today your friends don't mind that at all. In fact, they like it. At least they know what to expect from you. Your boss doesn't mind that you go to church. If you take Sundays off, he knows you will be work on Monday. Our friends don't mind to share us with God at all. But God does. He does mind that. Our God is a jealous God. And he's not prepared to share you with anyone. He wants you exclusively for himself. He has purchased you for his own possession. And we need to remember that. That although your friends don't mind, God does. Jesus said, Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve God and mammon. And we always refer that to the money. We face this choice every day. Mammon was the name of an ancient Syrian god, the god of riches and the pleasures of life. Today, mammon means more than just wealth. It means the spirit of modern ideas, the willingness to conform into the modern ideas and modern thoughts, to conform to the pressures of today's society. We often ask ourselves, what should I do in this perplexed world? I think all those who are younger, we kind of envy people who are older, because we kind of feel that they don't have to make those choices as we do. But when we get older, we realize that we still are making those choices all the time. So I ask myself, what should I do in this time? How should I behave? How should I make decisions? Because some of our decisions influence other people, like our children or brethren in the class or your co-workers. Often I think about John the Baptist. He also lived in a very difficult time. He lived in a time of changes. And he pictures the church at the end of this age. Matthew 3. And in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of through Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John decided once in his life what is worth living for. He had the same truth for everyone. He remained faithful to himself, his values, and to his call. He was himself when he was teaching his disciples. He did not count how many will follow him. He was an uncompromised voice telling to all how it is, how things are. A simple man, challenging scholars and people in power. He did not tremble in the presence of the king. He told him the bitter truth, well knowing that his life was in the king's hands. He was not frightened by the cold eyes of the king's wife when she pledged to revenge. He remained himself in the presence of Jesus when he entered the waters of the river. He was well aware that he was just a shadow of the man that he was holding in his hands. And here am I, a modern voice in the modern world. In a world that lost its value and principles. We have to have spiritual eyes to discern the true colors of this gray reality of today. We have to be the reflection of Christ in the days when man has lost his face. We are to be the salt of this earth. We cannot be the sugar. We are to be the single voice proclaiming the presence of the King and announcing that the old things has passed away. And when we get discouraged and weary, we have to remember our Master in the garden and his words, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation." We are all in a different stage in our life, but at one point or another, we reach a point where we are at the end of our courage, when we weary, and when we lose energy, it seems like we are ready to give up. We keep wondering if it's worthwhile to keep pressing on. We may feel that the fire is gone out of our spirit, and we may feel that the armor of God has fallen apart. But we need to keep watching and praying. We have to learn how to let go and allow our God to do the fighting for us. We have to learn how to be still in our hearts and in our heads. We have to allow the prayers to be answered. We have to pray often in our gardens of prayer. We have to pray in those sacred gardens of your prayer life, even when the flowers seems like stop smelling, and when the birds are not singing when you come. And maybe you might feel that the sun doesn't peek through your windows anymore. We need to keep watching and praying and ask God to help us and to heal our heart. And you may just discover that things change when you pray. And perhaps here at this convention, a small seed of tenderness would flourish in your heart. Treasure it. Protect it and nurture it. Nurture the fruits of your garden. After all, your garden of prayers and temptations is a place where the Lord visits you the most. It is the place of our battles, our falls, and our victories. May Lord make your garden flourish. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. I'm sure we speak for all the brethren, and we appreciate that this first discourse sets a tone for our convention and helps us, especially this season of the year, to strengthen our resolve to grow in grace, grow in dependence on the Lord and through the temptations which we are permitted, not to avoid the temptations, but to grow through them and to prove our faithfulness. For only will completely under the control of God's Spirit can be given immortality. We thank you, Brother, for the scriptures and for the thoughts that have lifted and focused our minds at this time. We have a few short announcements for the brethren before we have the closing hymn, and Brother will close with prayer. First of all, we're reminded in the book of Hebrews that in chapter 13 and verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Brethren, coming together and having fellowship is certainly an opportunity for us to do good and to communicate with those of our brethren we haven't seen over months or even years, and to strengthen the assurance of our love for them and concern for them in the truth. But also there are some who can't be at our convention, and so the committee has arranged that there are greeting letters that will go out from this convention to the brethren, from the brethren. So we ask you if you would avail yourself of the privilege of sacrifice of praise to God in this manner by sharing this with those who can't be here. The table for cards is in the dining room to the left as you enter. So that would be on this side around the curtain. So we hope that you will have an opportunity to put your name and your greeting and your scripture on them. Second is that I believe that there are some refreshments available to the brethren. It's kind of a long haul from breakfast. We had a mid-morning breakfast, but some may have had an earlier one and not had a chance for lunch. So there's some refreshments available from the committee back, and we also would like to remind the brethren to check the book table. There are different programs there, and there are the minutes and the agenda for the CO meeting if you wish to pick up a copy, and that will be on Sunday from 1:30 to 2. Brother John Blackwell has prepared these items for you to have a look at. And now we will have a half-hour intermission of fellowship, and we trust that you will be lifted up in that exercise as well, and be able to share your love with the brethren. Brother Daniel would like to close with hymn 274. we'll sing all the verses, Rise at the Last. And just before we sing the hymn, I was asked to bring greetings to the convention through Sister Chris from Brother Adam and Sister Helen Seawalk, who will not be able to be with us. They asked to send their love to you. Hymn 274. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Brother Daniel will close the service. Brother Daniel.
Our loving Father, we are thankful for the love of the brethren and for the privilege to be here. We ask that we might strengthen each other and we might inspire each other to better work and to loving you more. We ask for your strength and your wisdom in daily life, in small things and big things. We want to be faithful to you. We ask that you will lead us and you will help us to grow through our temptations and through our trials, that we may be always faithful to you. We give you praises and we give you thanks in Jesus' precious name.